shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be gathered together knowing that your own word is said in the Old Testament that you dwell in the praises of Israel. And you're now in the midst of your church as a personal being, God, Elohim himself. And knowing that, Father, that we know that you are here, we realize that that is very gratifying to you because there are those by the billions who do not recognize you even as being, let alone having come down according to Revelation 10 and being here to set your church in order for the great presentation, the great wedding supper. So, Father, we claim this morning that we are your very own, and we are those who are involved in the great secrets that you have brought us, and we are those who are involved in the end time as your dear children set apart. And we thank you for that, and we believe that, Lord, that we are part of that bride and part of the rapture going on now in the first stage, and who knows how far into the second, and then, of course, radically rapid into the third. And so we do thank you for it, Lord, and give you glory that you have turned our hearts toward you, and we know the truth, and we know him who is the truth, who is the Word. Grant, Father, that we may know even more this morning in all humility as dear loving children. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we went into a basic study of which leads today concerning the Logos, or God himself, and how at the end time we see happening today what happened in the very beginning. As we found in Romans, there is a chart laid out for us, of course, and we found in there, according to the book of Romans, the first chapter, how that homosexuality led progressively to the complete breakdown of humanity into a state that is lower than animalism. Because animals act instinctively, their patterned or their circuitry is made that they would act according to their nature and within their species. Their pattern, but the human being able to reason and now thoroughly imbued with the wisdom which is from below, which is earthy and carnal, sensuous, and entirely destructive, comes to the place where man is completely reprobate and he does those things which are not right. That is because he has taken God completely out of his knowledge. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that he doesn't acquiesce to the fact that there is a God. And yet, it also means that he will not say that there is a God. Now, the reason I say that is because 90% of the Americans believe there is a God. And yet, the 10% are controlling all education which denies the very existence of God. So how can you say there is a God and believe there is a God when actually you are taught and actually pounded into the people, the kids growing up and even the older people, that really we are the product of evolution, and we come to the place where it is so utterly ridiculous and asinine that if this test were given as a sanity test to somebody outside of religion, that person would be, deemed as a non compos mentis, which means he doesn't have a mentality that can cope, because they're saying there's a design without a designer. Well, now that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And yet that is the accepted approach to science, to life and religion and anything which has to do with a philosophy. So the Bible says the end time, they are filled with all unrighteousness. In other words, there is no place where righteousness does not obtain, and within the individuals there is no limit upon his unrighteousness. In other words, at this time he completely fulfills every single thing that could be against God in his word. So we're coming to a state of complete rebellion against God, the denial of God, and lives which are completely destitute of God, where there's nobody left but a reprobate. And so that means there's no more seed. And that's why you have the outstanding scientific fact that is in the Bible, and the scientists going against the Bible, and that is the DNA has proven 100% that there is one mother and two fathers, and one father has fathered 99. Heaven knows how many percent, I think it's 0.2 or something like that, where the other father actually has only sired a minimum. And of course the Bible has the answers to everything, because the Bible is God in print. As Brother Branham said, that he's not the first one to say that, but that's very true. So they are completely without any seed of God. Now, of course, nobody knows who the seed of God is, because the two fathers brought in this world as fathers by the one mother, and now we have this diluted lump, to where if the seed has run out physically, and you can't trace it physically, mind you, because it's one lump. If you see the seed is down to an error 0.00 something, then remember, without the Spirit of God, you're reprobate. And the Spirit of God really is your own soul, a part of God. Then you have today nothing but a serpent seed group, which are nothing but brute, natural brute beasts. Now, that's interesting, and it's the truth. So what do you expect? I kind of came to myself the other day thinking about the world, and you know that I've been very much of a thin person all my life, and they're usually very fidgety and nervous and fighting for the underdog and everything else. You know, they're out there turning things upside down, making a mess of themselves and everybody else. And I'm always haranguing myself and everybody about the absolute rottenness of the financial system. And and the whole system is built upon the intrinsicality of man's soul, which is the dollar bill. The love of money is the root of all evil. And that means the literal intrinsicality of a man's soul is toward that money. And you can see it as we talk about the economic system. Well, that's the same as saying every time a cat sees a mouse, if it's a real cat, it's after the mouse. So why should I fret, and I have been fretting incessantly, stupidly, overwrought, with these money suckers? They can't help it. When a cat sees a mouse, the mouse is gone. These people can't help themselves. Neither can these, what I'm talking about. And the opening to the whole thing is homosexuality. Now, don't you forget it, because I traced it and showed you. The turning from God became evident in the human body when the human body went homosexual. Why? I'm talking about the human bodies. Animals don't have souls per se. The hybrid race does have a soul, but it's a hybrid soul. That's why God says all souls are mine. The soul that's in it shall surely die. And there's no soul that's born of God can die, so the other souls do die. Now, God is just in that he showed himself to all people. Now, being filled with all unrighteousness. Notice, fornication. Now, that's out of wedlock, sexual cohabitation. Now, if men have as many as 20 partners, who are the women? Women are an easy mark, evidently. They're just ready to throw themselves into bed with any type of gunk and crud and mess. That's why more women are getting AIDS than men. So girls, smarten up. You want a good dose of AIDS and die? I'm giving you the recipe, telling what the Bible says about you. Just sit there and listen and take it. You're going to stand right before me at the white throne, every one of you. Just like I'm going to be there. You're at the age of accountability. So just listen up. Now, if you're that kind of a person in here, you won't be able to help yourself. You do it anyway. As a child of God, though, you'll be tempted. Now, you want to... There's no sin in temptation. It's when you fall into sin. And remember, the word isn't temptation so much as testing. And every child of God is tested. There's something in you, you say, no. If you're brought up right in the word, you start fooling around. And listen, fooling around in this age, you had better be more than careful. Because I'll tell you, you fool around, knowing what you know this morning, I don't believe God will heal you. I believe you'll die. I can't prove that. But I'll tell you one thing. I can tell you this is God's truth. Never presume upon the grace of God and never put God to the test. Don't put God to the test. Because you'll find he'll call your bluff. I know a guy years ago, his name was Thirsk. And he's a Pentecostal guy. He had all the Pentecostal jitters and everything goes with it. You couldn't trust him far as his old bull by the tail. And he'd been wonderfully delivered of smoking. So he said, well, my God's so big he won't let me smoke this cigarette. So he smoked this cigarette, he hadn't quit smoking. Put God to the test. Be my guest. See, we're not in kindergarten anymore. We're not natural brute beasts. We're children of God. We've made the decision based upon God's decision for the sheep hear the voice. Now, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. You know malicious people? Huh? You can't wait to find something wrong with you. You can't wait to get back at you. You can't wait to do something. You're full of malice. I would hate to be beaten up inside with malice. You'd tear the guts out of you. Malicious. And it says, full of envy. I've heard people talk. I remember one lady, I won't mention who she is, years ago she said, no preacher should have a Cadillac. Why? Because they had a Cadillac. I think it was always a secondhand one, though. If she did, she'd roll over in the grave to know that I bought a new one. I didn't ask for it. The people gave it to me. Where do you get that stuff from? Where does it come from? Now, maybe I could pull a few names out this morning and say, I've heard you people say certain things. I hear envy and malice in that. What do you want to be that way for? Huh? Let me tell you something. If you want to be any kind of a way, you stand there by the grace of God knowing you're fallible, but God has kept you, and you want your brother and sister to be kept too by the same grace and faith that God's honored you with and given you a privilege. No, you see, the brute beast, they can't do that. Now, it says here, they're full of murder, debate, deceit, malignity. That's like cancer. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Now, people wonder why we've got all these movies coming out of Hollywood, and TV is rampant with pornography. And by the way, do you know that this latest great union on the internet, the one that was bought out or did buy out with Time Warner, they get together. You know what that net is famous for? Pornography. Now, you say, how do you know? Because I read about it. That's what it's got. So Time Warner buys up pornography. Now, you know the other day that Deutsch, the head of the CIA for a long time, downloaded secret material on his computer, and his boy got on the pornography line. How many now know our secrets outside of the bug hidden? And mind you, hidden in the conference room of the CIA in the woodwork is a bug the Russians had for 5 years. I got one question. Dave, maybe you know the answer. Can a battery transmit on a wireless for 5 years, or is it hooked up somewhere? Has anybody ever heard of a 5-year battery? Have you got a 5-year battery? Anybody know of a 5-year battery?
If it runs on sun
or something. Well, if this was in a building in the woodwork, that'd hardly qualify. I'm just saying, what's going on? See? Pornography. Filth. Now, it says here, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Yeah, disobedient to parents. Your parents aren't allowed to correct their kids when they're brought into court. And now, if a psychiatrist gets a hold of your kid, that psychiatrist can pump your kids full of heads so full of nonsense, the little girl say, "Oh, my father abused me sexually when I was 4 years old." Then maybe 10 years later, after the father's in jail, like it happened not too long ago, the girl says, "I remember, my father raped that little girl and killed her." The man was thrown in jail. Then one day the girl woke up and said, "My God, my father never did that, ever saw that." Wonderful, wonderful. Sweet little children with a sweet little conscience. Nice little kids. I want this to sink in. You see why God's going to destroy it all?
Yeah.
And why he has to? What a terrible mess. Without understanding. Pound him in. You can't pound anything in him even. Without natural affection. Well, if they're haters, how can they have natural affection? Implacable, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God. Now listen, this starts to manifest with homosexuality. And they're determined to take over and are taking over. And curbing every liberty we have, every right we have. A minority. They're the ones, at the time of Sodom, when they wanted to sodomize the two male angels, and the angel struck them blind. And in their blindness, they're groping for the door to try to get in. They had turned down natural physical contact. And God destroyed them. So you got the type, you got everything in Scripture show. This is where it starts. Because denying God. And remember, America turned down God in 1956. Remember, and keep remembering when I'm talking along this line, the great revelation of this hour is there is one God, and you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've been baptized incorrectly, thus saith the Lord, you must be rebaptized. That's William Branham, prophet of God, vindicated. 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 And remember, when the prophet was vindicated, first of all, God vindicated himself to the prophet. Then God vindicated the prophet to the people. And then by his own formula that man wanted, God vindicated his word to the people that I am God talking to you. And this is the way I talk. And the proud people, these boasters, these haters, these serpent seed, they don't want God to talk to them through a man because they're just like Cain. They don't want to hear the word of God. And yet if God wanted to talk through a brass doorknob, that's God, whether you want to believe it or not. See why I stand on the way I stand with my convictions? And that's all there is to it. Now, they've handed me a piece here from Canada. Up here in Saskatchewan, that's where Gregory was and the rest of them up there, and that's where they had the that account and tell me and Brother McRae that you could, in Canada, it didn't matter if you took money in for a tithe and you spent it on a church building, as long as you spent it was okay. So I said, well, John, we had a tempest in a teapot. I'm sorry I gave you the wrong advice. We go to the post office, and here's a letter that says that the YMCA is being sued for taking in money for one thing and using it for another. And I said, well, John, fire your stupid accountant. I know more than he does. You and I know more than the accountant. You better believe, and Todd will tell you, you're in trouble. Very serious trouble. So, all right, it says that the decisions in month overdue on a complaint brought against the Saskatchewan newspaper, one of its advertisers, by the province's Human Rights Commission for printing an ad consisting of four Bible verses which the commission says violates homosexual rights. Here there are people speaking against God. Now, since there's no God, how can you speak against God? Since the Bible doesn't mean what it says, how can you fuss at any verses that are put out there? This becomes a conundrum to me. I don't understand it. In other words, if there's no God to talk to, how can I talk to God? If there's no God to answer my prayers, how in the world can my prayers be answered? If there's no God to be accountable to, and no God that made me, why am I fussing? Well, you just ignore it and go on. And you formulate your own codes and your own creeds. Well, evidently, they're trying to take the Bible, they're trying to take everything about God and prove that there's no such thing as the Bible and no such thing as God, and we can really do what we want. But they don't say that. They say, oh, human dignity. Well, I want to know what's dignified in homosexuality. I want to know. I want an answer from those guys, how it is that they cannot be straight when there's no reason not to be straight, because you can do it one way, you can do it the other way. At the same time, then I ask those who enter into perversion, perverting the right way, well, how come you're doing it? You're just like a dog, like the homosexuals. Not hitting hard this morning, but it's the truth. Because they got no leg to stand on, nothing to stand with them and stand for them. Because this act started in the garden with the beast, comes right down to the end time, where men and women right today are rotting on their feet and their flesh decaying while they're living. And God's going to wipe the whole thing up. Anyway, this whole thing goes on here where finally somebody's standing up against these homosexuals, and they're going to have a court case now, and finally they're saying our Constitution allows us the right to express ourselves because we are not against anybody per se. We are really against what we believe to be contrary to the Word of God, and we're standing with it. But you can see what's happening. Since they have turned down God, period, having known Him, which means God must have vindicated Himself to them, and this began happening in 1946, though in 1933, the angel of God, or God Himself, appeared to Brother Branham on the river down there in Jeffersonville, the Ohio River, in 1933. But in 1946, he was commissioned to take a gift of healing to the world. In 1950, God showed him through discernment where he came forth with, thus saith the Lord, proving 100% that William Branham was that prophet that should come upon the scene in this hour and this day. God proving himself to the people, absolutely. And it was turned down in 10 years, 1956. And at that particular time, even Brother Branham himself was involved with homosexuals on the ground that Leo and Gene, the Tate boys, were homosexual. And when he wanted to fire them, God said, you can't fire them, leave them alone. And I saw the vision book where it was written, leave them alone, they will go into false doctrine and destroy themselves. Now listen, homosexuality going to false doctrine, destroying themselves. Here's the Bible. Did I read it any different from the Bible? So I've been telling you the truth. Now, let's get it. This is our day and our hour. Now, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And that word generation has two meanings to it. One of which is this kind of people. The other is the time limit. What is the time limit of the generation? I don't know. Because way back in Adam's time, when they lived almost 1,000 years, a generation could have been 400, 500 years. Because according to Scripture, they didn't begin copulating unto birth until a man was 200, 300 years old. Then in Moses' day, it was one generation was 100 years. Then the Bible says 70, which means, and David qualified by saying, if a man live by reason of strength past 70, he only has troubles and infirmities and so on. So how long would this generation be? I don't know. But since Brother Branham gave us some certain clues which have to do with generation and the type of going into the promised land, which was no one over 20 years of age except two people, Caleb and Joshua, and don't try to figure who they are because that might not be true at all to our day. There's no scripture for it. The only scripture that could be extant and hold good would be a certain group of people born free from idolatry to freed people with the revealed word wherein they would go into the promised land and then be recognized through the word. And if you think we're going to be any different, I got news for you. There's no way. No way, because what do you think is going to be going on in the millennium? You're just going to sit there and it's all over? Uh-uh. It's further sanctification, it's further word. It's further truth. The further unveiling, which in itself is very, very beautiful. So, all right. In England, which Brother Branham said was the most illegitimate country in the world, and it is, they are now fining you for speaking out what you have every right to speak out, and they're denying it. It's in Canada, and they're trying to get it here in the States. But it will be defeated, likely in Congress. But I want to know what Congress is doing, sitting on their duffs, trying to... And if you talk about malignant people, backbiters, whisperers, if you didn't see that when they tried to get Clinton... And I knew they couldn't get him. How are you going to get a guy that's just like you? But he's smarter and better. He's the best thing I've seen since Trudeau in Canada. You're not going to, they can't do a thing with Clinton. They couldn't do a thing with Trudeau. Both those Oxford graduates. Well, at least they, Clinton could have been. They couldn't do a thing. Congress was no better than Clinton. In fact, the political system put him there. So I say, what are those birds doing that they've got a bureaucracy, the FCC, that's trying to shut down radio stations that are religious or make them put 50% of their time on something else? You talk about a mess. So that's your situation today. Now, look, we're going to go on with John 1:1 because I want you to know the hour in which we live, and it's perfectly clear. I have read my Bible. I have looked the situation over according to Brother Branham. And I can see the deterioration of mankind starts with homosexuality. And if anybody can't see that, he's crazy. Of course, they're trying to blame it on little green monkeys, and that's the biggest bunch of junk I've heard in my life. And now, of course, it's all figured out that an insect bites the bird, and the bird bites the pig, and we eat the pig, or get near to the pig, and now we got it. Now, I'm not saying chain reaction couldn't start in a certain way, but believe me, you are not going to sell me on anything about a green monkey. Anymore you're going to try to sell me syphilis started down there in Peru and Bolivia when men cohabitated with the llamas. Listen, let's get this flat. What am I trying to tell you? The Bible is true. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what any evidence presented. The Bible is true. And I believe you're going to find out before it's over all the dinosaurs and all the mastodons and everything else died with the flood. You say, well, how did they get in this particular shape of their skull and so on? Well, what's to stop it, big mouth? What's to stop it? Well, it's all about this carbon dating. Carbon dating has been up for examination time after time after time. How would you like to follow someone that keeps revising his quotes in his study? I'll tell you one thing. You don't have to revise this. So stick with the Word of the Living God. The Word of the Living God tells you that positively when they knew God, when God came into full evidence, full manifestation, proven absolutely utterly that there was a God by the a priori, as we saw today, thus saith the Lord, 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 thousands of times and not one failure. And if that's not scientific, I don't know what science is. Well, they say, well, you see, Reverend Bale, it's different when you come to philosophy. Oh, yeah, it's different. There's a difference between you and me. I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. You're from below and I'm from above. I've got the mind of God. You've got the mind of Satan. You're insane and I'm sane. You're wicked and I'm righteous. Let's go the full gamut. Science, so-called. Fap. Ever since I was a kid, they've been changing this. There's some things, of course, they can't change. They've got to stumble upon. All right. My basic here was in this age of perilous times, and we showed you the peril, and the peril starts, and this is not the Garden of Eden. This comes from the Garden of Eden, leading up to destruction because of serpent seed. And the serpent seed comes into full manifestation through homosexuality. And the whole world becomes infected. I showed you last night. If one man in New York could infect 100 girls and one French Canadian, 200 men, and the Catholics now admit that there's 4 out of 6 priests, that's 66 2/3% of the priests with AIDS. So they say it's exponential. In other words, it's so big they can't stop it. And they say, we don't know whether they did it by homosexual acts or maybe some were missionaries and got needles that were bad. I admit that maybe 1 of 1 million got a bad needle. Yeah. Oh, they're very nice. They say, we're not condemning the act. We're not condemning them. We're trying to help them be sympathetic. I had a Catholic priest from Cincinnati had AIDS phone me because he knew Dr. Cunnan and I and Doc Cunnan were good friends and Doc's a Catholic. And he knew that I knew certain things about AIDS, how you could help, but not really correct them because they'd go back to low lifestyle. And so he phoned me and I gave him all the information. All he had to do was make a phone call and go down to Florida to see Dr. Mayer. He never did. He died with his AIDS, which was very nice of him. Because had he gone and got some cures, he'd have just gone ahead and gone more and more and more. See, you can cure almost anything with ozone. Now, there's not one of you sitting here that didn't go to a school laboratory, almost all of you anyway. Little kids, maybe you never saw the lab, but you read about it. You learn how to make oxygen. I saw it when I was a kid. The chemistry teacher made oxygen, dropped in a metal wire, a little piano string wire, and it went, zoom, incandescent. It went to dust. Oxygen will kill any germ. Well, then if you go and ozonate your blood, oxygen is O1, ozone is O2. Well, if you ozonate your blood with O2 and drip 550 cc's and drip it back in your body very, very slowly, it'll go through your whole system and kill every bug in your veins. It'll knock every bug out. But there's another question comes up. Since the circulatory system, the blood, is run by a pump called the heart, but the system that cleans out the bad stuff It's a lymphatic system, and it's not run by a pump, but it's run by you jumping up and down and exercising. And that's where the bugs and things can go. Who knows if the ozone went there and knocked them out? I don't know. I can't tell you. I've even seen video cassettes of Dr. Mayer using, or someone with him using, the ozone. It's very fabulous. They've used ozone and oxygen in Europe for many, many years. Over here, you can't get it. I talked to my ophthalmologist one day, and I mentioned the macular degeneracy. And I said, hyperbaric treatment can cure it. He said, they'd be standing in line. I said, don't kid me. I said, they closed down Dr. Darber over here in Indiana. They closed down Sessions down there in Texas because he was using it and getting results along those very lines. He never said one more word. Now, what happened last month? There now comes an article out for the ophthalmologist to read. Oxygen is wonderful for your eyeballs. Well, Russ, how come they haven't heard about it? How come I've known it for many years? And I go to, I'm going to tell you one thing. That when you walk into a doctor's office and he's younger than you and doesn't look as good as you do, walk out. Walk out. Look at, we're in this pitiful age. We are in this pitiful age. And even if there is a cure, and the great cure would be that the unregenerate beast could be turned into seed of God, which they cannot be. There's no way that you can change species. As Brother Branham said, God is known by his uniformity and by his never-changing ways. It's always in the pattern. Now look, at the time of this peril, which means they turned their backs on God, period, all the time talking about God, having a form of godliness, but not according to the power of God. See, that's why they can say, well, 90% of us believe in God, but if our kids are taught evolution, it's okay. And the Catholic Church got around that many, many, many years ago when I was very, very young, 60 years ago, perhaps to be exact. They had already said, and the Pope today confirmed evolution has a part, and they know their confirmation to evolution is, well, as long as you say the original seed came from God, then you can believe in evolution. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you the truth. Don't look at me as though I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. And you know how I know? Because a nice little Catholic teacher I taught with told me that her priest gave her that understanding. That has been Catholic dogma for a long, long time. So when the Pope comes out and says to the witchcraft doctor, you and I are brothers, we worship the same God, I didn't have one bit of trouble understanding that. And when he said there's a place in the doctrine of Christianity revolution, I don't have any trouble believing that. Except it's downward and not upward. See, the Catholic Church believes they're going to change the world until Jesus says, oh, I just got to come down and take over. Whew, I've got news for them. He's going to take over, all right, but not till he. Now, in the midst of all of this, which is horrible, we have the gospel that teaches us in Malachi. I'm going to have to make this fast because we're lost a lot of time. And it says here that, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. That's this bunch over here I'm talking about is the first chapter of Romans, and second chapter of 2 Timothy, and in various quotes out of James and so on. And it shall be a stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, according to Brother Branham, you understand that the Pentecostal church age, Laodicea, is chaff. So, all right, when it talks the stubble then, it talks of the whole seven ages brought into judgment, of which the chaff is the end part. The word organized churches are all going to be burned. But unto you that fear my name, aha! Now there we are, starting with the homosexuals, turning into brute beasts, the whole 6 billion people, less a few of them, less a few, all natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Starting with them, and conclusively, Brother Branham said, in 56, America turned from God. Then if they turn from God, they turn to homosexuality. Why? Because the brute beast is going to be in control, because the Antichrist is a beast. Sharper an attack. But remember, the beast was the most subtle, smartest outside of man. And he was smarter than man because he could trick man. And he tricked the male and the female through their senses. In fact, he taught them sex. And you can't go anywhere today without that teaching. That's why the kids today are so demoralized and so filthy, and everybody's so filthy, because that's all they've been taught. They have not been taught manners. They have not been taught etiquette. They have not been taught ethics. They have not been taught spiritual things. They've only been taught the things of the beast. And now they're going to reap the wildfire. And they're going to do it. Don't think they're not. We've already had the prophet. And it's the time of the burning that the prophet comes. So don't try to kid yourselves. Now it says at this particular time, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. That's the rapture. Brother Branham said, so we believe that. So Brother Branham, well, prove it. He already proved it. He's vindicated. What kind of nuts am I talking to? Well, that put that on the tape for a lot of people to get tapes. But it's very strange. If my talk is so funny that I get phone calls, my friends get phone calls, and say, for the first time, I understand the message. I've had them call and say, Brother Bale, for the first time in 20 years, for the first time in 30 years, I understand the message, having heard a couple of your tapes. There's a few out there that understand a few things. And it said, you shall tread down the wicked, and there'll be ashes under your feet. Why? Because they're already ashes. They're gone. Under the soles of your feet. In the day that I do shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. When? Rise with healing in his wings in the midst of the greatest perversity the world has ever seen. Now, there's one thing I can't understand about the people that say they preach this message around the world. One fella said he preached to 10,000 people overseas, over there in the Philippines or somewhere. He's the guy that said, well, he said, those preachers that preach the presence are 90% correct. And he's the other 10% correct? He's a white beater. Don't give me that stuff. I wouldn't sit down and eat with him. When Brother Branham said, I hear 10,000 are believing this message, he's got too many. Got to shake them off. It seems like the Branhamites are just like everybody else now. Millions now living will never perish. So now you got 5,999,999,992 people in the ark and 8 people outside. Wonderful. Well, you can see why they hate me. Because I called their bluff. Brother Branham said they wouldn't like me. He said, you got a little gift to teach it and nobody wants it. And that's true. I wonder how many of you people want it. I've seen him sit here for 15 years. I've seen him get tapes for 20 years. I think Sean was telling me the other day that Lloyd was sitting in on the line, the internet. I told him, well, just don't bother doing it. I think I'm telling this right, Lloyd. If I'm not, you can correct it when I'm dead. No, I was just kidding. He's sitting there and he doesn't join in, but he listens to two people that have been getting tapes for years. And they're poo-pooing the two lords. You're laughing about it. They don't understand Godhead. I'll talk about the two Lords and show you. Whether I do it this Sunday or come back next Sunday or whatever, I don't know. I'm not going to get finished in a hurry. You better believe it, because we're not getting there too fast. But at this time here it says, remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with statutes and judgments. Now remember, Horeb is where they got the message the second time, for Deuteronomy means twice told. The DUE part is dual for two evidently. Twice written, twice given. And the second time given was grace. And remember, our Joshua, typed from the former Joshua, was given a special time of grace to take the people in, and we now have the same special time, and Ephesus is repeating. We'll show you that, getting right back. I'm just quoting Brother Branham, so don't worry. Of course, I'll be told by people, Lee Dale doesn't quote Brother Branham. Every time I said, now there's two of them. See, preaching two gods. Well, how do you deal with people like that? You don't. If a little kid doesn't know his alphabet, he won't do algebra, as Brother Branham said. Now, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. What great and dreadful day? When he comes and we come with him and tramp everything down. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children of the fathers. The first part was done under John the Baptist. This is left to this Elijah. Lest I come and smite the earth accursed. Now he's telling you flat right there, he is going to come, it's going to be done, but there's an interim. There's an interim. And in the interim, the Elijah prophet comes and turns the hearts of the children back to the fathers, which Peter says after Pentecost, or at Pentecost, is the restoration of the Word. Absolutely. The restoration. The prophet is going to do it. And he said, in that interim, except for that prophet, I would fulfill what I said. I am coming, and don't you forget it. But before I come and destroy, Elijah will come and save the people in a rapture. Now that's, so well, how do you know? Because Brother Branham said so. Well, how did he know? Because God told him. How do you know? Because he's vindicated. Oh, you and your vindication. Yeah, me and my vindication. Hallelujah. What do you got? Your vindication? Ha! I wouldn't trust you with a sick cat. Okay. Now, this brings about 1 Corinthians. Now, we've gone through this so many times, it's really pitiful. But we do it anyway. 1 Corinthians 13. And it says here in verse 8, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, shall vanish away. For you know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then when everything is completely completed, there's no more parts left. Seven church ages with seven messages all gone. Seven messengers all finished. Then it's going to be done away. That which in part is done away. Why? Because there's no more to come. And if there's no more to come, how are you going to repent? This is Hebrews 6. This is the turning of the children's hearts to the fathers. Getting back to the apostolic age where Christ was with his disciples. God appearing in human flesh amongst his own people via the prophet. Now, when I was a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but even then shall I know even, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now he tells you right there, there's coming a time of face to face. Now, let's understand facts. God himself said, no man can see my face and live. Jesus mentioned it. No man can see God and live. Moses was allowed to see the back part. Brother Branham said it was a bleeding back, which foretold, and Brother Branham showing, that one day God would manifest himself in human flesh, and our sins laid upon that righteous one that God had chosen as a sacrifice, and that back would bear it all. And healing and everything would go forth in the atonement. So now abide of faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So we're coming to the time when there won't be any knowledge because anymore, and no more will be needed. The prophecy, which is the word of God, because the Bible is a book of prophecy, is in seven complete parts for seven ages. Seven messages, and seven is perfection. And the word perfection means conclusion. There isn't any more. So therefore, if you take away a word, it's not perfect. If you add a word, it is not perfect. So therefore, there's coming a time in the face-to-face, which has to be, remember, you're looking at God now, and he calls it a face-to-face proposition. And the face-to-face proposition can only be when God manifests himself, where he becomes entirely visible to you, to God's own satisfaction and to your satisfaction. Now remember, if it's not to your satisfaction, but to God's satisfaction, you're the one that's wrong. Because that's how God does things. Now this is what exactly happened during Brother Branham's tenure here upon earth. God was satisfied, but the people weren't satisfied. See, I'm a very satisfied person. I don't question, Brother Branham said. John 1 and 1 is being questioned and questioned and questioned. You can sit here for 20 years under my ministry and leave here questioning John 1 and 1, actually quoting it as the prophet said it, and then turn it right back on Jesus when Jesus is not that one. No way any more than you are Jesus. You say that's pretty strong. No, it isn't. It's nothing but the uncondemned truth. One and one does not belong to Jesus. He has a part in it. But not that part. So, all right. At the same time, when it's all over, we're going to find out how it comes all over, linking up Acts 3, Peter now, full of the Holy Ghost, bringing forth the word of the hour, 19 to 24. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, full of the Holy Ghost, that your sins may be blotted out. And notice, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And Brother Branham categorically said that was a great healing revival. The great healing revival started in 1946 when he took the gift of healing to the world. He never took it to the bride. He took it to the world. In order for the whole world to be condemned. And all religions were condemned in India when all religions, Christians and Buddhists and all the rest were there. And the man whose eyes had rotted in the sockets by looking at the sun. And Brother Branham said, tell me, you now pray in the name of your God and give this man his sight. And nobody talked. He said, oh, you're awful quiet. He said, a little while ago, you're arguing very loud. Now he said, do it. Now he said, what if I come now in the name of Jesus Christ and give this man his sight? Who or what will be the true God? The man got his sight. And being the heathen they were, but knowing more than the Christians will ever know, they believed that God was in William Branham and ran to touch him. And they'd have torn him to pieces and stripped him naked to get a part of his clothes and touch him because God was in the man. Now, how about that? That's exactly where the Protestants are, and the Catholics are ahead of the Protestants. For when the sign came, supposed sign of Fatima, over there in Spain, I guess it was, or Portugal, one of the places, when the priest wrote the book, he said, what does this mean, this great sign? It means shut up and sit down. God's got a message for you. What about the Pentecostals? Hallelujah. That's the way he's done the Bible. We can do it too. You're getting an education this morning. I hope you're getting it. Why is Lee Thayil sold on vindication? Why does Lee Thayil go to the Bible point by point? Because this is the Word of God. This is God in print. And when God manifested Himself, the living God, He didn't manifest Himself any which way but this way, and exactly according to it. Oh, yes, I've got faith in it and nothing else. I've got no faith in myself. Don't worry. And I've got faith in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant God made with the Son. And I'm a part of it. Now, if you didn't catch it, you better learn to catch it. And he, at this time, God shall send Jesus Christ, which was before appointed unto you and preached, but appointed. Now, what about this Jesus that was appointed and preached? The heavens must retain him until the restoration of all things, and that in there is actually word. Until the whole word of God, which hath been spoken by the mouth of all the prophets since the world began. Now, that wasn't back when Jesus was in Jerusalem. This is him coming back. This is when Peter knew that Jesus went away and would come back and bring about a resurrection. For Moses truly said unto the prophets, fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Then shall you, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he says unto you. Now notice, for Moses truly said unto the fathers. Now Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet the Lord your God shall raise up unto you. That's done and gone. And in Jesus' day, the fathers were turned to the children. But in our day, the children are turned back to the fathers. So now you and I are going to have a prophet. Like what Moses said. Now it won't be Jesus. That's over. But we're going to get a prophet. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That's like in the days of Noah. 8 people made the ark. So, there was a Mount Sinai showdown in the world with Brother Branham. Whether you should say Mount Carmel, because God manifested himself. The next now, of course, is Mount Zion for the rapture. And we'll talk about that in Hebrews 12, which we've done previously. Now, remember, in the time of Jesus, they weren't destroyed. This time, they're all going to be destroyed. Since Jesus' time, there's been about 4 billion people, if not 5 billion people, come on the scene. Yeah, it'll be about 5 billion since the time of Jesus. Not positive, but I kind of think that's right. Because I remember figures of 2 billion, I think it was, or 3 billion, not so long, terrible long ago. There's going to be 7 billion about 20 more years. India and China alone have a couple of, going to have about 3 billion right there. All right. Destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Now, I don't know Samuel ever having said one thing about it. But you notice Brother Branham constantly compared himself to Samuel. So this prophet is not going to be one who brings the word, and neither did Jesus. He manifested perfectly what was to come, fulfilling the word, proving the word, and then he anointed Paul, who brought the doctrine to the Gentile church. Now, he said, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham. And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, if in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed, he's not talking to the Jews. He's telling you about the Gentiles who are coming in. And remember that God turned to the Gentiles in A.D. 53, having laid the platform of Jew and Gentile upon which the church was built. And the chief cornerstone of the church was God himself coming down and starting the church through the Apostle Paul. So therefore, God will come down and finish the church through a prophet. As Brother Branham said, just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing the word. And that's what he's saying. Turning the hearts of the children to the prophets, the fathers. And he said, you are the children of the prophets. So therefore, if our hearts are turned to our fathers, then this prophet means we're being turned to the entire word of God, what God said here that must be fulfilled, which is completion. Because after completion, Hebrews 6, there's nothing but fiery indignation. So we're at the end time, the perilous time, the time of peril, the time the devil can trick you. Now remember, absolutely, as Brother Branham said, Satan never came to Eve and said there's no God. He just changed the word, taking her away from God. We'll look into that too, as we always do. Now at this end time, the people are saying, sure there's a God, but who knows him? What about him? Who cares? I make up my own laws. I live my own way. So, whose hearts are being turned to the truth? Nobody but 8 or 10 people. 7,000 maximum. Could be 700. Could be 500. And could be just 8. Which we have no record, because that 8 is merely a percentage showing you how few are going to make it. Because we're not dealing with Noah, although that's Gentile era. We're dealing with the end time. Christ trying to get back in the church. Now, what about it? Christ trying to get back in. Now, when Christ tries to get back in, you can put any connotation you want to it. But you better be careful to check your scripture running in continuity, because it says over here, Christ wants to take his church out of here, and he's got to get back into it to get it out of here. And how's it going to be done? He's going to send a prophet. And that way, you can have the healing in the wings. You can have the great resurrection. You can have the rapture. And the whole thing then can take place. Now, how are you going to make this line with the rest of the scripture? Because it says, he shall send Jesus the Christ, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens now must retain until the restitution of the whole word of God. Because that in the Bible is the word. Until the word is restored. That's spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. And notice he called them holy, so David was holy. According to God, a man after God's own heart. See, look, it's the flesh that sins. It's not the soul. You're not in the spirit. You sin in the spirit, you're gone. You're just Cain right off the bat. Since the world began, since the very first one, and remember in the beginning, Brother Branham said God's his own prophet. So every single word of God that we know written here comes to our attention. Everything the prophet gave us is absolutely God himself doing it. And you're going to hear him in all things. In other words, the whole restoration of the word. As Brother Branham said, this prophet in the former rain plants the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent in the garden, or the latter rain, to the prophet in the former rain. He said the latter rain prophet, Elijah, will plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent in the garden to the prophet right down here. And why does he say just to this end time prophet? Because at the end time prophet, there's no more to come. every mystery is unveiled. The seven seals, the seven thunders, it's all here. You say, what are those seven seals? What's it all about? What are the seven thunders? I don't have an understanding to give you all of it, but I'll tell you one thing. The seventh seal is not something that you can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's completely revelatory at this time when God himself comes down and deals with the prophet, giving us full knowledge where the word now goes out. And it's all over. It's all over. Now, this entails Jesus. So what are we going to find here? Brother Branham said, since what Jesus did for the Jews, he was obligated to do for the Gentiles. And he referred to the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, and it's true, that's the fourth chapter, but the 12th chapter is 100 times more better, because you can't really get a thing out of the fourth chapter except you understand that the Gentiles have a part in the ministry of Jesus, which absolutely looks like a lie or a complete fizzle. Because there's no place where Jesus went to the Gentiles. There's no place. But the point is this. Was Jesus. Remember, I came in my Father's name and you received me not. When Brother Branham said Jesus went back to being a pillar of fire, do you think the Lamb went back to being a pillar of fire? If he did, then what good is he? We don't have an advocate. You got to keep your Bible straight here. So, okay. It tells you here in the 13th verse, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, then he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. He stretched it forth and was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, they might destroy him. See, his healing ministry was absolutely evidence that God was there in the prophet, proving it was God. Because they could not deny that man could not do what this man did, even though he did it. It had to be God, because the man still couldn't do it, even though he did it. And so they understood, though the man was there, and if the man hadn't been there, it wouldn't have been done. But just the same, it wasn't the man, because man can't do it, so it had to be God. You follow me? Now that's not stupid talk. Nicodemus had the same idea that I had. He said, no man can do this except God be with him. He said, I see the man doing it, but he ain't doing it. And ain't no optical illusion. This is not magic. This is not weird stuff. These people are being healed. But this man can't do it even though he's there. But Nicodemus forgot to say, if the man hadn't been there, God couldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it. Why? Because he had a message to bring. And the message comes by the prophet. Now, they couldn't take it. Now, Brother Branham, knowing this, that they set about to kill him, knew that they couldn't set about to kill him. Not in the civilized land called America. So he said, there's more than one way to kill a man. To destroy his reputation, his integrity. So they set about to make Brother Branham an nincompoop. A false prophet. A man that God mightily used, and he got so swell-headed that he couldn't do the job God wanted. So now we'll take over. You know, what were they thinking? What were they thinking? They couldn't do it. So they're going to make sure if they can stop him so he can't do it. And what made them think that they could take over? People said, Brother Bear, why didn't you take over Brother Branham's ministry? I said, you must be nuts. I don't have a ministry to take. I got my own ministry. I'm very satisfied with it, and I'm very happy I didn't have Brother Branham's. I'm sure glad he had his, and I'm sure glad I had a partner. And I become a recipient. Now, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him and healed them all. He made it even tougher on these bunch of murderers. Now, if there are murderers back there, will they not be murderers today if we can prove that the same ministry that God gave Jesus to Israel had to come to the Gentiles? Or the Isaiah has become a liar. Then God did not speak through Isaiah. You say, well, he spoke through part of Isaiah. Then you're just like the rest of the stupid idiots. Some of the Bible's true, but the rest isn't. Well, you tell me which is true and which isn't. What are you going to do? Wave a little magic wand and put your finger in the air where the wind's blowing? Oh, come on, come on, come on. Let's smarten up. Is there a God? Is he really God? Is he really in this book? Did he really come forth? Does he really mean what he said? Is it true the Lord said to my Lord, so there's two of them, but one happens to be Jehovah, and the other Lord is just a nice title? Like Abraham was Lord to Sarah. Huh? Oh, you smart Bible students out there that think you know so much. You know just enough to condemn you. That only takes one word off and one word on. And he charged them they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which spoke in Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. There weren't any Gentiles there. So Isaiah boo-booed. And Lucas boo-booed. The Bible's a scrapbook for the nutty. Now, just a minute. When it comes to the Gentiles, he shall not strive. Well, did Jesus strive or did he not strive when he booted them out of the temple? Well, if you don't call that striving, I don't know the name. I don't know. I've lost my language. When you strive, means you are exerting effort. You are trying, you're pushing, you're pulling. He certainly did strive. Nor cry. He certainly did cry. He raised his voice and said, ho, everyone that thirsted. Yeah. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. Well, he was in the street, and he looked up in the tree, and he saw little old Zacchaeus. Come on down here, boy, I want to talk to you. A bruised reed shall he not break. Ho-ho! You think he didn't break the bruised reed that Israel leaning upon the law? You got another thought coming. The smoking flax shall he not quench. How come they still don't have temple worship and the blood and everything else? Till he sent forth judgment unto victory. He isn't talking about the Jews. He's talking about God manifesting himself to the Gentiles as he did through Jesus Christ. And this time would not be defeat, but victory. The judgment would bring victory. Not condemnation, but victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Okay, tell me the name of God. We're right back to the great mystery of the end time. Who is God? What is his name? Where is he? What is he doing? Tell me about him. Big Brother Branham said the seals was Christ. Just a minute. What Christ? Say, what one? Old Daddy Bosworth pulled my coattails back in 1953 when Brother Branham came to West Palm Beach. And he said, Brother Vail, I've been praying for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth for 40 years. There it is in that man. How did Daddy Bosworth know? How did he know to pray from here? But I doubt if Daddy Bosworth knew himself what scripture he was praying from. But God anointed him to pray for 40 years that the ministry returned to this earth. And what was the ministry of Jesus? God in a man. That William Branham had a ministry. God in the man. And the ministry was a message. And the message was the presence of God. My ministry, God in me, is here to declare Him. They tell me that's the actual quote. The quote was given to me by a book years ago, was to declare Him, declare that He is here. They tell me on that tape in 62, he said, to declare Him that He is here. It's possible that that is right. That would be more correct than the other, because to declare Him is the actual ministry of Jesus, which means to bring Him forth by words. And so therefore, when this great ministry of Christ returned to earth, that was in William Branham, the prophet of Malachi 4, he had to declare, which was to lead God forth by word. Does that give you an understanding why God is the Word? It would certainly help in my estimation. All right. This has already happened. This brings us over here to Revelation chapter 22:17-21. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add them in the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and the things that are written in this book. So therefore now, you have come to where exactly Moses was. When the word of God was completely finished, before they went into the promised land, he said, don't you dare add, and don't you dare take, and this is just before the holy city. Which, of course, is also preceded by the millennium. So if you're going to get to the holy city, you're going to have to go through the millennium, which means the first resurrection and immortality to the bride standing here, and they can't have it without the perfect word. Now what are you going to do? Going to scoff? You got your own idea? You don't make it to the millennium without the word. You don't get to New Jerusalem without the word. Why? Ask God, don't ask me. You didn't think I'd say that, did you? Now, y'all all leave here, got all the answers. No, I don't. I'll just tell you one thing, because God said so. And God wanted it so, and God made it so. And those that came out and fooled around, got into adultery, everything else, and paganism, leaving Pastor Pharaoh and all the Egyptian muck and junk, and then went down amongst the daughters of the children of Lot, that bunch got into all kinds of physical, sexual scrapes and everything else. They died. And just the young people went in, 20 years and younger, except for two older folk, Joshua and Caleb. But remember, our Joshua is the Holy Ghost, so that puts out anybody that's old like me. We'll die off, which is fine. Now you get the best of two worlds that way, at least for a little while. And they went in with the Word. And the acceptation in that beautiful land was word. Why? Because they kicked out the word in Eden. Got my answer, didn't I? If you want to get back to Eden, you got to get all the word. And you got to have the God of the word. Let me tell you something. He's the God of his word. See? All right. Now, and at this time, we have the fulfillment of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Let's take a look at this. And in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we have 11-16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that's a complete mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So the doctrine's going to be corrected. By the sleight of men, cutting crap, there's no more false teachers, whereby they lie in wait to deceive the deceiving, but speaking or holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things. That's where Brother Branham said, how you ought to love each other, you that love this word. I don't see too much of it myself. That bothers me, to be honest with you, it bothers me. Grow up unto all things, that's the whole word, which is the head, even Christ. But remember, Christ isn't the Word. He's only the Word that God gave through the prophets, and he became that whole Word that God was given. But don't you get mixed up in your thinking, because there's a lot of strange things said in the Bible if you don't keep your doctrine right. And from the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body on the edifying of itself in love. Now it tells you right there that at the time of this fivefold ministry, that ministry is effective to bring them up to where the headship of Christ can come into fullness, and they're no longer worried about doctrine. They've got it right. So therefore, when anybody comes along, as Brother Branham said, the womb of the mind is shut up and therefore cannot be impregnated, because it's already impregnated by the true Spirit Word of God. Now come on, read it. Oh, well, we just ignore that part. It says, did henceforth be no more children. Oh, we were never tossed to and fro. Don't give me that junk. Or carried about with every wind of dark. Bless God, I spoke in tongues. I've been Pentecostal all my life. How do I have a Baptist I can't get lost? I'm a Methodist, glory to God, never took a drink in my life. Shut up. You nauseate me. Hasn't got a thing to do with it. In other words, the condition of the church is exactly what I read, the condition of the world. The Sodomites. The children of God, not wanting to be, but being tossed to and fro. All the false doctrine coming in. All the detritus and debris through the bloodline of the Word. All cleared out by one glorious shot of ozone from above. The heavenly breath of God breathing once more through a prophet and into a fivefold ministry, leading them right into a rapture. And yet you'll hear people say, there's no such thing as a fivefold ministry. Of course not to them, there's not. Forget it. And then you'll hear somebody say, well, they're the gift of the church. And you got to hear the pastor. Not when he's off the word. Oh no, they'll twist you. I got a phone call the other day. Preacher has a son who's now a preacher. That's the worst thing in the world. My boys never were. Maybe I wish they had it into what they went into. But you don't become a preacher because your dad is, your mother's somebody else something. You better not want to preach. Because if you're called, you won't want to. It's the elders, the deacons who want to. I'm not nailing anybody. I'm just telling you a threat. Hey, look, I know the Word of God. Don't tell me I don't, because I do, and I'm quoting the prophet. And he was what? Tell me. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's enough. I'll give you a few more thank yous for each one present. And he was vindicated, see? Now look at here. This is here now. There is a fivefold ministry. You can say what you want. I know I'm one of them. No doubt about it. Now, the fivefold ministry wouldn't have a clue without Ephesians 1, which is the end time, when Paul says the earnest of the inheritance, the baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out at the day of redemption. So when God is going to redeem the people out of the ground, the baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out because there's nobody else going into the ground. The few standing here will be changed. Wherefore I also, the 15th verse, heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints. So therefore, my dearly beloved, already the word has to be there. And this is telling you how the word got there, because you will love those who love the word as you love the word. Now, see, I'm worried about that, as I say. Should I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, if He's going to give you the spirit of wisdom, even revelation and the knowledge of Him, it's going to have to be His own spirit, because nobody knows God but God. That tells you flat, man by wisdom knew not God, period. I don't care that Adam and Eve came fresh from the hand of God. They did not know God. Except by God revealing Himself to them. And it would take God to do it. And I'm going to tell you, they didn't believe very much in God's revelation if the devil could come by and say, hey, 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 hold it. Not the way it is. I'll tell you. And I'm going to tell you, if you've got guys like Shelley coming by, you bunch of Branhamites out there, you ain't got nothing either in my books. I felt a little checked about saying that, but I'll say it anyway, because I'm a hard-headed jerk. I want to sit down and eat with you. That's not being too hard. You know why? This is life or death.
Amen.
And it's too late, because the signs are in. If you think they're not, you're wrong. The bubble could break any minute. And it will. Remember, science has finally figured out the little flutter of butterfly wing in the Philippines could bring a hurricane over here in America. Or a tornado. One word, on, off. Scientific. Alright, he says here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So that face to face, the appearing, God coming down, has to do with your brain. And if your brain's not baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to get it. God can't reveal it to you. So something's going to be seen, something's going to be done, that has to be told to you, and you'll say, that's exactly right, that's God, and that's what God's saying. And you can't do it by yourself. God's got to do it for you. Now, how does God do it? Always by a prophet. And every prophet that comes is what? Rejected or killed. Tell me, how could it be otherwise when Eve rejected God, Cain rejected God, and it's in the scripture to reject God? How are you going to change it? Well, the cat sees the mouse, and the cat says, what in the world is that? I don't, well, should I chase? Oh, no, I wouldn't chase that. Serpentine. Now, and you may know what is the hope of His calling, and of His inheritance in the saints. You may know your situation, position before God, and how you actually stack up in it. And Brother Branham quoted Irenaeus, God being a Savior, it was necessary to predestinate a man to require salvation or a sinner in order to give himself a reason and purpose of being. And the Bible speaks of the purpose of God right here in this first chapter of Ephesians. The purpose of God, which is the reason for God's own being, according to His own Godhood, which God Himself couldn't change if He wanted to, because then He wouldn't be God. God is bounded the same as you and I are bounded. and don't think he's not. Anyone that gives God the idea of being the ogre and Puss in Boots coming along and doing something to the ogre, you got it all mixed up, brother, sister. You got it all wrong. You're dealing with fables. You're dealing with garble talk of God knows what. God is sovereign. He doesn't change. He's bound by his own godhoodness. God cannot change. He can't be other than what he always was and always will be. He can't act any other way. His purpose has always been defined within him. He is his own purpose. See? Sovereignty. So, all right. And what is exceeding, now watch, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? After this mighty revelation, carried on by the fivefold ministry, you are now coming to this place. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the mighty work in his power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, which is resurrection. Right after this great Spirit of God comes in. And it has to come by a prophet because Peter said so. It's all through the Scripture. Deuteronomy says so. Jesus said so. You can't change it. It comes by a prophet. The prophet is Elijah. God manifesting in and through him and bringing us the completed and perfect Word of God will take us right into the resurrection. So the Word of God alone can take you into the resurrection. You can say what you want. You say, well, God raised it. On what grounds does he raise the dead? On the grounds of the Word. See? Well, then without the Word, you don't get raised. That's exactly right. So God and his Word is one and the same thing. He is the Word. We'll catch more of that. Which he wrought in Christ, raised from the dead, and set him above his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. In other words, there ain't nothing going to touch us anymore that used to touch us. Because he is all power and dominion and right and domain and exclusive with him. When we're in his hands, it's all over. Nobody but nobody can touch us but God. The old song is safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. And there are the words, the world is excluded. Everything is gone. Above all power, dominion, every name that is named, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. Not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Why did they throw that in there, that which is to come? Showing stability. The unchanging God. It's over. God is all and in all. Proving this after the white throne, when the Lamb gets on the throne of the New Jerusalem and the pillar of fire above him. And this is what you're looking at. And it says, hath thou put all things under his feet. You know what that is? That's the klusma. That's the shout. That's 1 Corinthians 15. God making the church subject to Jesus Christ, its head, where it hasn't been before because it wasn't fit for it. It wasn't completed. It wasn't over. Did we run out of time?
I guess 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, it's fine by me. Well, it's really not fine because I'm not finished. And put all things under his feet, and gave him to be all things over to be over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. In other words, we have here, whether you want to see it or not, is the complete fulfillment of God's Word. What God wanted, what God was doing, he has now finished. And it was all done through the means of which he set it forth, which was through that flawless character, his Son, who came to redeem us and bring us back to the place where we were with him and God was all in all. And now we are back there with him with the purpose of God completely finished that he wanted in and through us as his children and the Lord Jesus Christ with the holy angels of the rest standing there. And that is it. That's going on now. while the homosexuals are trying to take over and do take over. Let them take over. Our sexual experience at this time is spiritual sexual experience with Christ. It's exactly what Paul, Brother Branham, taught. Paul taught it. It's in the book of love. Songs of Solomon. But people don't get it. Right back to Revelation 21 then at that point. So, okay. Now, the next thing we see in divine order, and we are there, whether people want to realize it or not, is in Hebrews 12. And in Hebrews 12, 18 to 29, and this is refreshing your minds because I've got to do this to let you know the revelation of this hour, there is one God. And that's John 1 and 1. Now, I don't care what you're hearing, and I'm not interested. I don't want to hear anybody's tapes. I don't want to hear what anybody's doing. Because I have heard from the pillar of fire who has ordained that he will speak with it by the mouth of the man whom he chooses. And William Branham is no more chosen than I am and you are, because the scripture said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thy throne. And if you haven't been chosen and caused to approach, you can run all you want, do what you want, couldn't do you no good. Said, Brother Dave, you must believe in a sovereign God. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly what I believe in. I appreciate those thoughts. Verse 18 of Hebrews 12, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, and unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Now that's the mountain that can be touched. Said, don't touch it. But you can. That's what God said to you. Don't touch it. But you did. Oh, yeah, you can, but you shouldn't. And you will sow, and you will always reap. Reap, reap, reap. Sow and reap, sow and reap. The morning I get up, I sow. By night I reap. I get up, I sow. All day long I sow. All day long I reap. All day long I sow. All day long I reap. You think I don't? You got to be kidding yourself. You know, we're all mean enough to be as mean as a snake. What holds us back? Sowing and reaping. And I can tell you right now, every one of us would do a whole lot of things we're not doing now, but we know we'd reap. So let's take it all the way. Life is nothing but a series of habit patterns. Say what you want. Sowing, reaping, sowing, reaping, sowing, reaping, sowing, reaping. You are not come out of the mount that might be touched and can be touched. What had happened? It burned with fire, and blackness, darkness, and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Don't talk to us anymore. I ask you, can you ever get enough of this word? Evidently, you live under a different kind of a mountain. These guys said, hey, we can't take it. Hey, man, we don't want that. Spiritual food in due season tastes awful good to me. Everything Brother Branham said is, amen, that's right. Amen, that's right. I don't have any trouble with it. Why? Because he is right. Two and two have made four since God came into existence, and he always was. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much the beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So great was the terrible the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and I quake. Oh, this is a terrible thing. But you are come unto Mount Zion. Now, that's not a mountain you can touch right now. You're living it. Under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly, even the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus. See, there's two of them right there. One's God and one isn't. And he's still mediator. He's still between us and God. Now, isn't that simple? Now, why are people fussing when you talk about two of them? Actually, when you talk about God, you talk about millions of things, and some of which are His own lifeblood, His own life, which are His children, one of which is the only begotten, which in the Greek means uniquely begotten, one of a kind, never before, not now, and never again. And He's the firstborn, and by actual fact of God's own word, He owns 50% of all creation. He's the obedient one. By His obedience and death, He perfected us. So therefore, He's worthy of worship and praise and honor and glory. And why not? Because God gave it to Him. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't share His own glory with Him, because He said, I'll share my glory with nobody, but He'll give you glory. That's a different twist, isn't it? Huh? Just think about it for a while. Come on, just think about it. I told you the truth. Now let your thinking go. Start thinking, hey, what about this business of God's glory? He doesn't share it. He certainly does not share it. He will give, but He doesn't share. He will give you glory. He will give you many things, but you will never, ever share in the mind of God and the wisdom of God, because that is inviolate. You'll never share in the power of God. That is His own. He will allocate. He will give. He will bless. He will help. But you leave God alone, my brother, my sister. And don't you dare try to enter in. Even to His presence, except by the way He ordained, and if you don't enter that way, you'll die. And God sent a prophet with the word. That doesn't obviate anything that Jesus did or God wanted. This is how God said it was going to be. Jesus, the mediator of the covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Who's that? That's God. Now, we've come right to the holy city. Now, remember, the millennium, or the promised land, takes very, very little time as to its subject when you compare it to New Jerusalem. That's the big thing. What's 1,000 years in eternity? Forget it. Well, we need to be there, because that day must be restored. Refuse not him that speaketh. Who came down? Revelation 10 and 7. Paul telling you someone's coming down. Refuse not him. That's God. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall they not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So now, you got the message. Jesus himself cannot be here. There's no way. It wouldn't do him any good anyway. He'd have to have God doing it, because that's the way that God does things. So his voice then shook the earth, but now he promised, saying, yet once more I'll shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So, Jesus himself admitted, and Brother Branham himself admitted, that he was only a voice. He was one that stood there when that one descended. Christ was identically the same. He was the one that stood there at the River Jordan when God came down. And when Jesus died upon the cross, who was it that shook the earth with the earthquakes and all? And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God, accepting reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So it tells you right there, the consuming fire. He's not talking about Jesus, he's talking about God. So at the end time, at the approach unto the holy city via the millennium, we have to come by this way right here. God once more speaking from heaven, which is the seat of authority and the dominion of elevation. How does he do it? He does it by a prophet. And in spite of the fact that all these things are so adverse, and believe me, they are terribly adverse, we don't have to worry about them because we have over here Revelation chapter 22 again. And this time we read previous verses to verse 17, starting this time at verse 10 and reading to 17. Then he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, what was sealed up? Revelation 10, 1 to 7. So therefore, since the seals were open, and they had to be open, they had to be, for this verse to come into existence. The book now unsealed in Revelation 10 cannot be resealed. In other words, what started must continue. So the homosexuals will keep on taking over the world. The brute beasts will increase. Religion will increase by leaps and bounds. God will be turned away from the hearts of everybody but 144,000 Jews. It's all going to be left. The foolish virgin will all die. Nobody but 144,000. How many Jews are there? I'd say 15, 16 million. When I was in Greece in 1970, there was 4 million Greeks in Greece and 16 million more in the world. How many Jews? I'd say 15, 16 million. I don't know. That's about 8 out of the, made the ark, eh? 144,000. Now it says here, don't you seal it. Don't you dare seal it. Why? Because anything can happen now. And what is happening is going to carry you right to the New Jerusalem. It's going to, why does it stress that? Because it's only at the New Jerusalem that God becomes all and in all, which He was before He started, John 1 and 1. It's got to go back there. God alone with His eternal purpose, now God above the throne with His eternal purpose fulfilled. That purpose, He may have more, don't ask me. That purpose fulfilled. And it's the kingdom handed back to the Father. The Father now putting everything under the feet of Jesus. Getting the bride ready to get out of here. That Spirit become incarnate too, crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the wedding supper. That one is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, they're all together lovely. They're all there. 3.5 years travels by. 1,000 years travel by. How much at the white throne? Don't ask me. I don't know. Because even the word millennia is millennia. Who knows? Time goes by. Time and eternity blended. And one day time runs right out. And that time, the kingdom is handed back to the Father. The Father becomes all in all. And this says fini over the top. Over the throne of Jesus comes a sign. All that the Father has given me has come unto me, and I've delivered them, every single one. And over the side, over the throne of the Father, I am all and in all. You can't beat that. that's actually true. Now listen, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. No more repentance. Hebrews 6. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. No more blood. Why? Because the atonement is for the elect. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Separation complete. Serpent seed, children of God. Every plant my Father hath not planted is going to be rooted up. Nothing is left now. The history of the homosexuals and all the serpent seed has run out. It's run right out. It's running out right now in our times. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give a man according to his work shall be. That's the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I started it, I'm ending it. What I was at the beginning, I'm at the very end right now. I have been fulfilled. Blessed are they that do his commandments. No, they that wash their robes. Seventh-day Adventists are sure like that one. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that can go into the rapture. Brother Branham said, I'd like to see a virgin stand still in the waters of separation. What's he going to do? Wash her with the water of the word, according to Ephesians. Dress her in those garments. Remember, he said, the sword of the Lord, and when he said, what is the sword of the Lord? The word of God. Bring on your holy vesture with the word of God standing by. Dressed in the word. A word bride dressed in the word. Blessed are they whose robes are washed in the waters of separation, the word of the living God. She is now glorious within and all glorious without and all glorious within. And she has the right to the tree of life, which was missed, which is absolutely immortality, because the Bible said, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. But then the baptism with the Holy Ghost came along and sealed you to the privilege of living forever. But here is a bride, a company of people who will not die. Are there 500? Are there 700? Are there 5,000? Are there 7,000? I don't know. And I don't care. Why? Because it's not for me to know. You don't care much what kind of a watch I've got or how much my glasses cost or where I got them. In fact, they don't even like the stupid things. They don't work. And it's not my eyeballs either. It's the frames I'm talking about. What do you care? Same thing. It's none of your business. None of my business what God wants to do. He's already done it, and I'm a part of what he said, and that takes care of it. All right. This concludes until we come back again, if we ever do. And we likely will. The hour in which we live, negative, positive, of the name of our God who is one. What is the doctrine of one God that Israel knew, the early church knew, that was corrupted, and now we're back to the position where he that knew his God, William Branham, did exploits unheard of, except the ministry of Jesus Christ, which was even eclipsed numerically. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious God and Father, as we go our way, we thank you again for the time we've had together, knowing, Lord, that we have laid the foundation again and shown very, very correctly, and I believe, Lord, perfectly according to your word and what we have known to be vindicated, that this is the subject that Brother Branham said so truthfully as he preached the seals, the great, great revelation that came out of those seals or came out to this age. And I would place it, Father, in actually both that came out of the age and was completely confirmed under the seals. There is one God, and we must be baptized correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was thus saith the Lord, that if we weren't correctly baptized, we should be baptized over again. And I thank you, Lord, that that was done, and I'm glad I had it done, and I'm glad the people here have had it done, and I'm very glad, Lord, that all the young ones who are baptized have been baptized quickly, and they know that there is one God, and they accede and realize that, and we're very grateful for it. Now, Father, where it takes us, and we know it's going to take us, absolutely right into the heart of the reality that we have been given today. Because if this is what we must have, when we know we must have it, without which there can be no furtherance, otherwise we would be guessing, we would not know the one and only true God that who sent Jesus Christ, who certainly came again, that same ministry, your came to the Gentiles. We know therefore that you are Elohim, and we want to abide by that, not asking you, Lord, to reveal all your secrets to us. We know that is not what is given us, assuredly, but we can know what is for us at this hour. And if it entails all, we're grateful. If it entails those few things we need to know, we are still very grateful because we know we will receive exactly from you what we need in order to put us in the rapture. We understand that, and we thank you for it, that there is a people already sealed in, separated by the word, ready now to go into the millennium, where that is going to be the key and the value, because we will enter into a worship, and without that revelation, that doctrine, we know that even the worship of the millennium, as the prophet said, the temple worship set up, there would be no way we could be acceptable. So we thank you, Lord, now that we are completely acceptable to enter into that glorious era that lies before us, which is previous to and no doubt necessary as a further revelation and sanctification to going on beyond the white throne to the new Jerusalem. So we have been hallowed, Lord, by you, and may we hallow your name. May you be glorified, Lord, and may we honor and respect our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and have our hearts and our minds set in order for the great order that you have entered, given us, that we have entered into. May your name be exalted. May the sick amongst us be healed, Father. We know the prophet said many things about not just availability, but entitlement. Father, may we learn, as never before, our entitlements, and come boldly to the throne of grace and receive for every time of need, not to boast and not to exalt, to set ourselves apart as though, oh, look at us, but as children, loving children to the devoted Father, receive from your hand, and we in turn glorify your name in all humility and all respect, giving you the glory. That's what we want, O God, because we know true humility is believing what you said and then having an atmosphere and a spirit about us that acquiesces in the same way that that same word was given us. God, may you receive glory. You know that's our heart. And Father, you know we wouldn't be talking from our hearts if it wasn't from you in the your own self to put it this way. So may it be with each one to give you glory and honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.